Well, turn your Bibles, please, to Romans chapter 15. It has really been a good time together today to fellowship together and worship and study of God's Word. And thank you so much for being here and for who you are. I've kind of gotten into the habit for this hour of having a series of things to talk about that would fit into this time slot. We just concluded looking at the Beatitudes, and before that, I think the virtues that Peter talked about in 2 Peter 1. There are a number of places throughout the New Testament, in fact, many of them, where we have the phrase one another. Some time ago, I brought a lesson to you on the fact that we are members one of another. I'd like to do some of that for a while now, just for this particular hour, looking at some of these one another passages. I call your attention this morning to Romans chapter 15, verse 7, where the Apostle Paul says, "Therefore, accept one another, just as Christ also accepted us to the glory of God." Accept one another. In the early church, diversity was a reality from the very beginning. It was a diverse group of people. If we think that we live in a melting pot here in this country, it was certainly that way in the first century throughout the Roman Empire. And so in the churches, there were converts that came from various backgrounds. They had various customs and traditions that they were part of. And so as you can imagine, such diversity sometimes contributed to differences of opinion and even conflict among brethren. Especially we know that there were both Jews and Gentiles in the churches in the first century. And that was a recipe for some very trying times, some difficult matters that they had to deal with. And one of these concerns is talked about in the 14th chapter of Romans here, where there is discussion about the eating of certain meats. And I'm not going to really discuss that passage except to say this, that there were some whom Paul regarded as being weak in the faith regarding the matter of eating certain meats. And this is, of course, according to the law of Moses, meats that the law of Moses was considered to be unclean. So there were those who were weak in faith and had very strong scruples about eating those things, even though they were now baptized and they were members of the church. They still had those questions. Others, on the other hand, regarded all foods as clean. Probably most of the Gentiles had no trouble eating any of these foods. But those are the kind of things that he talks about in chapter 14, these matters of conscience. And so Paul's teaching in all of this is quite clear. I'll just summarize what he says there by saying his teaching was, don't judge the one who eats, and don't regard with contempt the one who does not eat. Now that's just a real concise summary of what he says there, but if you read it, I think that's what he ends up with. So the one group, he says, don't judge the one who believes it's all right to eat these foods. And on the other side, don't regard with contempt the one who decides they don't want to eat these foods. And furthermore, he says, don't make choices that are going to put a stumbling block in any brother's way. Whatever choice you make on matters like this, don't ignore the fact that it might prove to be a stumbling block or an offense to a brother. And so within that context then, he says that rather we should accept one another, as just as Christ also accepted us to the glory of God. He says the same thing in the 14th chapter, verse 1, first verse of that previous chapter. He says, now accept the one who is weak in faith, but not for the purpose of passing judgment on his opinions. So when he comes back to that in chapter 15, verse 7, it seems that it's all within that general context of some of these controversies that existed in the early church. So I want to think about just how this principle of accepting one another is such an important principle for us as Christians as we live together and worship together and serve together in any congregation as members of a spiritual family. Some important spiritual observations. First is that the New Testament makes it quite clear that we all have been reconciled in one body. We've been reconciled in one body. And as we talked about in the earlier lesson this morning, we have been reconciled to God through Jesus Christ. And so the fellowship that had been lost because of sin has been restored through the blood of Christ. But the New Testament also emphasizes the important principle of the reconciliation of Christians, of believers, one to another. Especially, he talks about Jews and Gentiles that have now been reconciled in one body. We've been studying that in our class in Ephesians chapter 2. And so, the body of Christ has always been populated with folks from different backgrounds, different perspectives on life. That's not anything new, and something that it didn't go away after the first century. There's always been that case. Since it was then, there were rich and poor. There have been those who were slaves and those who were free. At times served in the same congregations. There have been, of course, male and female. All these things, these differences exist, and the same is still true. And the glory of the gospel message is that in Jesus Christ, we are reconciled in the one body. And whatever differences we have are secondary compared to this one grand principle that unites us in Christ. And that is our faith in Him. Our common heritage as children of God causes all of these kinds of differences to fade into the background because we are all one in Christ. I think one of the greatest summaries of this that pertains to what we're talking about this morning is Galatians 3, verse 28, where Paul says, there is neither Jew nor Greek, there is neither slave nor free man, there is neither male nor female, for you are all one in Christ Jesus. And so, when we talk about accepting one another, it's important that we recognize that there is something that we have in common. It's the greatest thing that we can have in common, and that's our faith. Now, we're not to suppose that as Christians, all of our differences will just suddenly disappear, though. It didn't just disappear for those Christians. It's just because they had come to have a common faith and had all been baptized into one body. We still have these differences. And we should not suppose, furthermore, that we will always agree on everything or always see all things from the same perspective. It's just not going to happen. It never has and never will. And yet there is some level at which we are to accept one another, even when we sometimes disagree. Our inability to do so, you see, is often the result of divisive attitudes, whether it's envy or jealousy or strife or arrogance or selfishness. All these things get in the way, don't they? And sometimes when we can't get along in the body of Christ, we think there's some issue that's separating us, when what really maybe it is, it's our selfish pride getting in the way. But that leads me to make this observation. We need to be careful and understand what this accepting one another does not mean. And what I want to emphasize is it does not mean the acceptance of sinful attitudes. It does not mean the acceptance of sinful behaviors. It does not mean the acceptance of every religious error that someone may hold. And so the Apostle Paul here is not advocating that we just overlook all of our differences and just fellowship anything. No, we don't do that. Unfortunately, children of God sometimes choose to follow after sin. Sometimes children of God end up getting sidetracked, and in their teaching they are teaching things that go against the gospel and go against the New Testament. And you and I know that we can neither accept nor participate in those kinds of choices. I think one of the strong statements to this effect is the one found in Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 3. Paul says, "But immorality or any impurity or greed is not even to be named among you as is proper among saints." In verse 7, he talked about how we should not be partakers with them. He said, "For you were formerly darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. Walk as children of light." And then he says in verse 11, "Do not participate in the unfruitful deeds of darkness, but instead even expose them." That's about as strong as you can get. He says, don't participate. Don't have any fellowship with sin. And so we all understand that. That's not what Paul was getting at here when he says to accept one another. But that's not to minimize the fact or overlook the fact that he is saying that sometimes differences exist over matters of opinion, things that we can have some differences in the way we do things that don't have to be the kind of things that divide us. Just as he talks about in Romans the 14th chapter. He's saying you can hold different viewpoints about the eating of meat, but that doesn't mean you have to be separated and divided one against the other. We need to accept one another and have a proper attitude as we do. So accept one another. We accept one another as brothers and sisters in Christ, regardless of our social status, regardless of race, regardless of gender, customs, or religious background. We accept one another even sometimes when we disagree on matters of opinion. Sometimes we recognize that we accept one another regardless of a person's level of spiritual maturity or knowledge. I've always been grateful through the years that people put up with me when I thought I knew what was going on and I really didn't. And I had things to learn. And we've all been there. We've all been in a position where we can look back and be grateful that people were patient with us in the church. And accepting, even though we didn't understand things as well as we should. And to the day I die, I won't understand everything fully and perfectly. Is anyone here different from that? Raise your hand. No, I'm kidding. Accept one another, regardless of one's past or the baggage that we may bring along with us. We talked about Saul of Tarsus this morning. We think about the Ethiopian. We think about Cornelius. The Apostle Paul talked about himself in the 1 Timothy chapter 1 and talked about things of his past. And he says, "I thank Christ Jesus our Lord who has strengthened me because he considered me faithful, putting me into service. Even though I was formerly a blasphemer and a persecutor and a violent aggressor, and yet I was shown mercy. Because I acted ignorantly and in unbelief, and the grace of our Lord was more than abundant with the faith and love which are found in Christ Jesus." You know, we talked in our Bible class about people and some of the Pharisees who were wrong about things, and their understanding was not what it ought to be, and they pretty well had closed minds, and it was hard for them to learn. The Apostle Paul also was mistaken about things and had a wrong understanding about the gospel. But he was willing to change. He was willing to submit to the gospel when he came to understand how wrong he had been and that Jesus was the Christ. And so he understands what he's talking about when he says, "Accept one another just as Christ also accepted us to the glory of God." He can speak from experience how important it is to have brothers and sisters in Christ who are willing to accept him. You remember after his conversion how he wanted to join himself with some of the disciples in Damascus, and they didn't want to have him. They were afraid of him. They knew about his past. And someone had to come along and vouch for him. Barnabas helped Saul at that point and said, "Yes, he's a brother. He's a brother in Christ. Accept him." So we may have different experiences in this, but it's important that we learn this principle that Paul is teaching here. And, of course, all this points to this great example, just as Christ has accepted us. You think about the example of Jesus Christ. He is our example. And Paul talked about that here in this verse. "Accept one another just as Christ also accepted us to the glory of God. And so he's saying, Jews and Gentiles, we need to accept one another in the same way that Christ has accepted both groups. He's accepted the Jews who believe. He's accepted Gentiles who believe. They have a lot of differences, but they believe in the same gospel. They believe in the same Lord Jesus Christ and have come to him. The Lord himself invited anyone and everyone who was willing to take up his yoke of discipleship. The blind, the lame, the tax collectors, the sinners, the Pharisees, the rulers, the rich and the poor, the religious and the irreligious. He invited them all. And some from all of those groups came to accept the glorious gospel of Jesus Christ. He accepted them. So, Paul often spoke about this. He often spoke in these terms. You remember in Ephesians at the end of chapter 4, he's having some words about the attitudes that we ought to have toward one another. And he says, let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and slander be put away from you, along with all malice. And he says, and be kind to one another, tenderhearted, forgiving each other. Listen, just as God in Christ also hath forgiven you. And so that's the principle that Paul is emphasizing here in this text, this verse in Romans chapter 15, verse 7. We accept one another because that's what Christ has done for us. And when we show this kind of mercy and patience with one another, we are simply doing what the Lord has already done for us. What a wonderful example he has given us, and what a blessing it is that he can accept us with all of our filthy rags into his glorious presence. We don't deserve it. So we need to have that kind, some kind of attitude toward one another. And then he concludes this by saying, do all this to the glory of God. Accept one another just as Christ also accepted us to the glory of God. The rich are to receive the poor are to accept the rich, the ignorant are to accept the learned, and the learned, the ignorant, employers, employees, male and female, black and white, all are to accept one another. And the reason is because Christ, by his grace, has accepted us all. He did it. He did it freely, and he did it lovingly and happily, and he did it with great cost to himself. He gave himself to suffer on the cross. For me, I don't deserve that. And all that was to the glory of God. And so when we practice that same kind of patience and tolerance toward one another, we're simply imitating Christ, and it's all to the glory of God. Paul talked about this as the basis, part of the basis for unity. Sometimes this is overlooked in Ephesians 4 because Paul talked about there's one body and one spirit, even as you're called, and one hope of your calling, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is over all, through all, and in all, the foundation, the basis of unity. We all understand that. But we don't want to overlook that right before he says that, he says, I want you to walk in a manner worthy of the calling in which you've been called, with humility and gentleness, with patience, showing tolerance for one another in love, being diligent to preserve the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. Which is more important? One faith, one Lord, one baptism? Or humility, gentleness, patience, and tolerance? They're all important. And so our unity, we need to recognize it. We need to learn to accept one another, warts and all. And when we do that, then it's just going to, the unity that we can have together is just going to grow stronger and richer and more precious day by day. And we sang a song earlier, Just As I Am. And the song itself, the word, the thought of it is this very idea of, just as I am, you will receive me, you will welcome me, you will pardon me, cleanse and relieve me, Lamb of God. I know I can come to you because you will learn to accept me just as I am. And we should accept one another. Help one another to grow, yes. Help one another to get better and learn. That's an important teaching that we have here. That's my lesson for this hour. It's been a great day. I've enjoyed being with you. We're going to stand and sing the song that's designated as a song of invitation at this time. If it applies to us, let's respond to it. Probably together we'll stand and sing that.